Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump and J.D. Vance sworn into office in the Capitol Rotunda. The 47th president, in his first speech that followed, vowed to usher in a new golden age.
Above all, my message to Americans today is that it is time for us to once again act with courage, vigor, and the vitality of history's greatest civilization.
President Trump also pledging to reverse the Biden administration's executive orders. ABC's Karen Travers has more on the day.
We expect him to do some signing ceremonies still up at the Capitol and then head down to Capitol One Arena, where a lot of his supporters have been standing in lines for hours to get in. That's where the parade was moved. They took the outdoor parade. They're going to do an indoor celebration there. The president and first lady are expected to stop by. And then he's going to be here at the White House, and that's when we expect some of those executive orders to be signed.
Former President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden were outside the Capitol and boarded a military helicopter departing Washington, D.C. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin State Supreme Court candidate Judge Susan Crawford visited western Wisconsin this weekend for campaign stops. The Chippewa Falls native visited Rice Lake on Saturday to speak with voters about her background and the importance of the April Supreme Court election. Judge Crawford is running against former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel, and the election will determine whether the court remains in liberal control or returns to conservative control, with issues like abortion access and the governor's veto power at stake. The Wisconsin Innocence Project has announced a $1.5 million grant from the U.S. Department of Justice to use DNA technology to reinvestigate past cases. According to organization officials, the funding will be used to hire another investigator and two more attorneys to help go through about 100 applications. They believe the funding will allow them to fully investigate about a dozen more cases this year, which could lead to litigating a few of them. The project has a dedicated focus to revisit convictions for members of minority populations. The Superior Police Department has announced the arrest of a suspect in connection to a shooting incident on Tower Avenue. According to law enforcement authorities, officers responded to the 3800 block of Tower Avenue after receiving reports of a single gunshot in the area. When they arrived at the scene, they found a victim with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound to his arm, and he was taken to the hospital for treatment. He allegedly told police the shooter was an acquaintance from the building, who was soon after located and arrested. Barron County officials are reminding residents that real estate taxes are due in the next couple of weeks. According to County Treasurer Samantha Sommerfeld, Barron County only collects taxes for the town of Almena and delinquent taxes from the year prior. Residents will need to pay their real estate taxes directly to their town, village, or city by January 31st if they want to avoid the added cost of interest and penalty charges. January 31st is also the deadline for residents to file for the lottery and gaming credit for 2024. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks dismissed the 76ers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks with another win at home, 123-109 over the 76ers. Now, although they won by 14 points, head coach Doc Rivers and why he wasn't pleased by the Bucks' performance.
Yeah, I didn't think we attacked much at all. Honestly, we walked the ball up the court. Every time we ran the ball and advanced the ball, we got whatever we wanted. So it was just one of those games we couldn't find our pace, and yet we still won.
Chris Middleton, able to play 25 minutes, scoring, had 13 points and 8 assists, and was pleased they won those four games in a row at home.
We just want to take care of home court. We dropped a couple games at home earlier this month or last month that we thought we should have won, but to come and take care of home court, the fashion that we did, I'll take it.
Men's college basketball, UWM losing to Robert Morris University, 81-79. 19 turnovers for the Panthers. That was their first loss at home since last March. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With high temperatures staying sub-zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 11 below zero.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCL, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Monday, January 20th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here in Wisconsin, as long as you're indoors, Mr. Zommers. It's chilly.
I showered this morning, as is a good thing to do, you know, before you go to work. And I dried my hair with a blow dryer, and still my hair froze solid walking to my car.
Zommers has, for those who don't know, on the stream, he has about shoulder length hair. He has long flowing locks, unlike me. and by the way, coincidence or not, all the tech bro boys, Zuckerberg, Bezos, Musk, are sitting behind Trump for the inauguration today, and the same time our Facebook page has gone down. We're trying to stream normally because I'm like, well, our stream seems a little low. There is medication for that, by the way. But the stream seems a little low, and then it turns out, no, we're not streaming on the Todd Albaugh Show Facebook page. I believe we are on the Civic Media page, right?
That is correct.
All right. So if you normally
watch... We're on the WMDX, the 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX here in Madison. So if you normally watch this on the Todd Albaugh Show and you want to... Yeah, I put on a suit jacket for today, by the way. But you can stream us live right now on the WMDX. Look for WMDX on Facebook. We'll see whether we're being penalized by Zuckerberg intentionally or what's going on.
But that may be the case. Hard to say.
Technology, you know. But in all seriousness, this is beyond what we're experiencing today and into tonight, beyond just cold weather. National Weather Service has actually put out an extreme cold weather warning for the majority of Wisconsin, the exception being the far southeast counties of Milwaukee, Kenosha, and Racine. But otherwise, the majority of the rest of the state under a cold weather warning until 9 a.m. tomorrow. So just make sure that, you know, turn the heat up a little bit if you can so your pipes don't freeze for people kind of out in more rural areas. Or if you have an apartment that's not well insulated, open the doors kind of below your sink to make sure that there's warm air going in there. Obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but it's a good reminder because we haven't had these cold snaps in quite a while that, you know, even if you're going to take a short walk, whether it's walking the dog or doing quick chores outside, put a stocking cap on your head, especially for folks like me who don't have a lot up there anymore for insulation, because you lose a lot of your heat off the top of your head. Gloves, fingers can get frostbite in just a couple of minutes, and especially when the wind blows, with the wind chill as well. Make sure you have the proper clothing on, the vehicles, have a full tank of gas before you hit the road, make sure you put a blanket and some extra things in the car, and make sure your cell phone is fully charged as well. So extreme cold weather warnings for the majority of the state until 9 a.m. tomorrow. We're going to continue to update you throughout this hour on new happenings of the inauguration out in Washington, D.C. Again, Donald Trump was sworn in just after 11 o'clock our time as the 47th president of the United States. The speech was not quite as dark and ominous as his first one 8 years ago, although he made some pretty remarkable announcements during the speech. One of them, he was officially going to change the Gulf of Mexico, the name, to Gulf of America. Of course, that can't really happen unless Mexico and other places decide on that. But also announced with a full-throated voice that he's going to, quote, take back the Panama Canal, unquote. And look, there's a lot of bluster. A lot of this is distraction. But I think when the sitting now president and commander-in-chief talks about taking territories, you can't totally disregard that either. So we're going to talk about a couple more things from the inauguration, keep track of what's happening. Now, former president and Dr. Jill Biden have left Washington, D.C. at Joint Base Andrews. They gave a brief remark there, primarily for White House staff. Their closest advisors and friends were there at the Air Force Base and then hopped aboard what is commonly known as Air Force One. But of course, when it's only called Air Force One technically when the sitting president of the United States is on board. But they headed home to Delaware at last thought. President Trump, meanwhile, enjoying a lunch inside the Capitol. Former presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama chose to skip that traditional luncheon this year. Surprise, surprise. And assumingly took off themselves. The inaugural parade is going to be starting in about 20 minutes or so. And so we'll keep track of events. If anything newsworthy pops up, we will, of course, break into the show here and let you know that. But right now, it is all systems go in terms of safety and that sort of thing. And thank goodness for that. Also going to be talking a little bit more about Martin Luther King Day, asking you, who do you think is a current civil rights leader in Wisconsin or in America? And we'll preview a little bit of the, yes, there is something else going on today, the national championship game for college football featuring The Ohio State University taking on Notre Dame tonight on ABC and ESPN. Big game tonight. But right now, at 12 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No money to give away, no prizes involved. But here, what value can you really put on this? How often do you wake up and you say, I'd just like to tell somebody off? I wish I could tell people what I think. Well, here's your chance. It's your chance to be heard on 11 stations on our statewide radio network. Zombers, did you know we are the largest privately owned statewide radio network in the state of Wisconsin?
I did, in fact, know that.
Yes.
Since I work here.
But some people don't. We're in every major media market. It's a great opportunity to have your message be heard across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, you can download it at your favorite app store on Apple or Android. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up a cute C&M logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute to download, and it's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. All right, here we go. Today is what timely? Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas says. What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Now, this is timely, of course, because we're going through this excessive cold warning here in Wisconsin. But there are people this time of year, Zomers, that I didn't know this until I talked to our friend Phil Nee at WRCO. He was calling a sporting event, a high school sports event last week, and he said one of the key players on this team, their family had decided to take a trip to Florida. And there's no, I mean, I guess some schools are off today for MLK Day, but it's not like there's any big spring break right now. And I mean, when I was in high school, I'm going to tell you the old man that I am. Well, you know, I mean, spring break meant maybe cleaning the house. Maybe, you know, going into Madison or hang, but I mean, we didn't take big Florida vacations, but now kids or families are leaving in the middle of winter to go to warmer temperatures, which I mean, God love them. But I mean, so this is timely. So what's worse? Super hot temperatures for us in Wisconsin, mostly during the summer, or times like now, super cold temperatures. What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Give us a call. Summer, I'll ask, but I know. What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures?
This will shock zero regular listeners. Super hot temperatures are way worse because if I'm cold, I can put on more layers, move around, drink something hot. If I'm hot, there are only so many layers you can take off without getting arrested. And even then, it's still not enough.
You don't want to get arrested. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a tougher one for me because like days like today, when it's, I mean, even yesterday wasn't all that bad in Madison. I mean, it was cold, but like, as long as I've said this before, as long as the sun is out, but then when the winds pick up, that's when it gets. And now you get weather like this. And it's like, you're even just to go into the grocery store, you're freezing and, you know, got to warm up the car and you got to wear all the layers of clothing. I don't know. So generally speaking, I would say super cold temperatures are worse for me because hot temperatures, usually if I have shorts and a t-shirt on, or if you go to a store where it's air conditioned, you're fine. So we're gonna disagree on this one.
That's okay. That's okay. It's all right to be wrong. I won't say one of us is wrong.
I don't know there's any wrong quote-unquote answer. It's just your opinion. What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? You have a newer car, right? It's starting okay and everything?
Newer than my previous car. Right. It now is at least from the 2010s.
Oh,
and
great.
Yes, it does. It started, it was a little slow, but it started up. We were all good.
Yeah. We it was a big family weekend this weekend. We were traveling around. So long story short, I ended up leaving my truck outside in Richland Center, and I went to start it yesterday. Took right off. The old Dodge Ram took right off. So I'm very thankful for that. But what's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dick. Listening in Madison on WMDX. Dick, what's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures?
For me, it's super cold, and for an obvious reason, too. In the summer, when it's super hot, you can escape with air conditioning. And another thing about super hot, sometimes the scenery's a little better in the summer.
There you go.
Of that.
Right? I agree. I mean, I was just saying to my mom this week, we were driving around, I said, you know, I remember, you know, again, sounding old. You know, this time of year, everything would be covered in white, and it was kind of pretty, but now it's just brown and, you know, cold.
The worst time of the year to me is in November, once all the leaves are down in early December and there's no snow.
Right.
You're devoid of any color.
Right, exactly. Dick, appreciate the call. Thank you so much. We'll come back with more of what's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Don't go anywhere.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits,
Or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon, pardon me, past 1 o'clock. It was an hour behind. Story of my life, Zombers. 21 past 1 o'clock on Monday, January 20th. The congressional luncheon now going on.
Surprised it's not McDonald's.
Right? Exactly. President Trump signing some orders into action here before he's going into the Capitol, a room there in the Capitol for the congressional luncheon again. Usually the former presidents stick around, but former presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama saying, you know what? It's too cold. We're going to go home. And that's the question we ask you. What's worse this hour? What's worse, super hot or super cold temperatures? What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Go up to beautiful Eau Claire, WCFW, the Tap, and Zeno calling on the line. And Zeno, what's worse, super cold or super hot?
Nah, it's got to be super cold. 100%, especially this morning.
Right?
Having to wake up that extra 30 minutes early just to start the car and hope that it's warm enough by the time you get in it.
Now, here's a question for you, because I never had it until my current vehicle. It's a 2016. I have that little thing on my key fob where I can stay inside and push it and it will remote start. Do you have to go out and start your car?
Oh, no, I'm not blessed with the remote start. I got the old-fashioned walk outside and race back in.
I had that until this last vehicle that I bought. Never had it before. But I remember, yeah, you have to go out. And now you got to worry about some yahoos, you know, they're going to steal your car. So you either got to have like a second set so you start it and lock it, or you got to stand there and like watch your car so some goofball doesn't come along and drive away with it.
yeah, we got the two sets of keys for that.
Right. Do you work inside or do you work outside?
Luckily, inside.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I think about all the poor folks that, you know, whether it's a utility people or, you know, road construction. I mean, all these folks that are still working outside, farmers or ag producers. My grandparents were dairy farmers, and you know, as it turns out, the cow still has to be milked, whether it's 13 or 30 below or 90 degrees. They don't wait. As it turns out, they don't hold it for you.
No. Yep. The world doesn't pause for cold.
Well, I appreciate the call, Zio. Thank you so much. Appreciate it up there, beautiful Eau Claire. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures?
You know, it seems like I'm in the minority on this one, but well, I am going to say, because it's winter, there's probably a little bit of bias.
True, but I now here's some people on your side off the text line, Zobbers. WMDX listener, Luann in Waterloo. Luann says, I agree with Zomers for exactly the same reasons. So there's some love for you. And Kimber out in beautiful Muscogee listening to WRCE in Richland Center says, I agree. You're wrong, Todd. So there you go. There's a couple of votes for super hot is actually worse. What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures?
Super hot.
Wow. Super hot. Wow. Where did you get that at?
There's a video game called Super Hot, and whenever really? You finish a level, it just goes super hot. And so I thought that would be fun.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Also, Jim, listening from on WISS in Oshkosh, but Jim in Appleton says, hot is much worse. I wholeheartedly agree with Aaron. I spent too many years working in a mill that was always 20 to 30 degrees hotter the outside temperature. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I used to work in a foundry, thankfully third shift, but still over the summer, it was very hot in there.
Right.
And yeah, that was unpleasant.
That's another great point, that a lot of people that work in industry, they don't have the luxury of having air conditioned. So yeah, super hot is definitely worse. Asking the question, what's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? Text us on the Civic Media app or call us 855-752-4842. Len, listening on WMDX here in Madison, says, I find super hot temperatures are worse, though for mankind in general, it's pretty much a draw based on their existence in those extreme climates. All right, very good. Also a listener on WAUK Milwaukee saying super hot is worse. So there you go, Zomers. After a slow start, your allies have come to your rescue.
I thank the people of Wisconsin for agreeing with me about preferred temperatures.
Yes. What's worse, super hot temperatures or super cold temperatures? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Also, as we said, are you working outside right now? Let us know. Or do you have to go outside a lot during temperatures like this? Because, again, depending upon the person, I mean, again, I think about my grandparents farming. I guess there were things that, you know, if you get extreme temperatures on either end, dairy cows don't produce as well. So that can have an effect on it. Boy, putting up hay in the summer, you come out of the hay mow and it looks like you were just standing in the shower. You're dripping sweat. So in the summer, it was always better to have cooler temperatures if you're putting up hay. But if you're cleaning the barn or milking cows, or if you're, as you and the listener said, you're in industry, a foundry or work in some kind of industry like that, mechanical industry, and you're in a big building that doesn't have HVAC, boy, as the listener said, it gets pretty darn hot if you don't have air conditioning. Yeah, a little toasty. So cooler weather is better on that. Well, this is a good one. This is a good one. We'll have more of these, of course, every day in our second hour. What's worse, you can follow along. Always call in as well, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us. Continue to text us on what's worse, super hot temperatures or super cool temperatures. Again, it's close, but for me, I'm going to respectfully disagree with Zomers. I'm going to say super cold is worse.
And yep, that's all right. There's good reasons for both.
There are good reasons for both. Quick update for you on what's happening out in Washington, D.C. The congressional luncheon continues right now at this hour. The pomp and circumstance continues. No major breaking news. If something happens here in the next half hour, we'll let you know. Of course, the rest of our great Civic Media staff will continue to cover the events throughout the day. Come on back. We're going to talk a little MLK Day and college baseball, college football as well. National championship tonight between the Ohio State University and Notre Dame. It's the All Ball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents will have an easier way to file their state taxes for free this year. According to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, residents will be able to use the IRS Direct File system for their state taxes after integrating the program with the WisTax state tax return platform. Taxpayers will be able to use the software to automatically import their W-2 and 1099s into the system. The individual tax filing season will begin on January 27th, and residents can check their eligibility and register through the system on the IRS Direct File website. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has announced about $1 million in additional funding for programs to train students for careers in fields like manufacturing and construction. According to a press release, the department will award grant funding ranging from $5,000 to $100,000 for school districts with programs aimed at helping students join the skilled workforce. Those programs could include things like machining, biotechnology, robotics, or healthcare, and applications are due by February 18th. A Barron County man was found guilty of hit and run involving death by a jury on Thursday following a two-day trial. The jury found 32-year-old Tyler Baker guilty of fleeing the scene after colliding with 37-year-old Charles Key on Highway M in August of 2023. Key was flown from the scene of the crash for treatment, but later died at the hospital from the injuries he sustained. Baker was charged nearly 1 year ago and is facing up to 25 years in prison and a fine of up to $100,000 when sentenced following the conviction. The Shell Lake Fire Department is warning residents of an ice ridge that's formed on Shell Lake. Officials say the ice ridges can form with the lack of snow and temperature variations, creating an unstable ice sheet that could prove dangerous for residents who enjoy ice fishing. The naturally occurring phenomenon has been known to be especially troublesome for vehicle operators on frozen lakes, as they can be difficult to spot and can go on for over a mile. This ice ridge begins near Scout Island and continues north towards the beach house. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The third installment of the 28 Days franchise, titled 28 Years Later, opens in June 2025. Sources say despite the new chapter's $75 million budget, part of the new film was shot on an iPhone 15. This would make 28 Years Later the most expensive film ever to use smartphone technology, at least for cinematic purposes. We've come a long way since movies used to use flip phones. Just a little over a year ago, in late 2023, Norman Lear was being praised by everyone in Hollywood after his death at 101 years old. But Sally Struthers, who played Gloria on All in the Family, says that she was not a huge fan of Lear. During a recent appearance on the Let's Talk About That podcast, the two-time Emmy winner says Lear told her she was only cast because she had blue eyes and a fat face like Carol O'Connor, who played her father, Archie Bunker, on the show. Words hurt, even with two Emmys and a big bank account. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With high temperatures staying sub-zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 10 below zero.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Earl Ingram.
How will the incoming presidential administration impact you? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams following Monday's inauguration on Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
More perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be. Happy birthday to you.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Happy birthday. Well done, Mr. Zomers there. It is MLK Day, of course, being overshadowed a bit by the inauguration events happening out in Washington, D.C. today. But I thought it was important to take and appreciate Matt Flynn earlier on the show, giving his remembrance. As someone who lived, I think what he said, he was 21, I believe, when MLK was assassinated.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So as someone who lived through that time, I thought it was important to have his reflections on that and always appreciate Matt Flynn's perspective. I want to bring you a story from the Wausau Pilot and Review. Headline, more Northwest Wisconsin schools are letting students off for the King holiday, but many still do not. Says here, this was originally by Robin Washington from Wisconsin Public Radio. Martin Luther King Jr. Day has been a national holiday since it was signed into law by former president. You want to guess, Mr. Zomers? Who signed the law making today a federal holiday?
Abraham Lincoln. No, I'm kidding. I'm just going to say Bill Clinton.
It's a good guess. It's a very good guess. This will surprise people, at least some people. The law making today a national holiday was signed into law 41 years ago in 1986 by former President Ronald Wilson Reagan.
At first, I was going to say Reagan. Then I was like, I'm going to push a little farther forward. Yeah. But no, I should have gone with my gut.
Yeah, very good. It's a day off for students in major school districts around the country, but not necessarily in Northwest Wisconsin. In 2023, and just this year, Wisconsin Public Radio surveyed districts in the area. Of 44 school districts tallied in 2023, 15 were closed on the holiday and 29 remained open. Now in 2025, the numbers are nearly reversed, with 26 districts granting students the day off and 16 remaining open. This does not mean that districts that remain open aren't observing the holiday in some way, said State Superintendent Jill Underley. Quote, what matters most is that schools take the time to really educate students about Martin Luther King Jr. and the contributions he made, she said. Underley discussed the issue with Wisconsin Public Radio's Robert Washington on the morning edition. Washington also spoke with Joshua Hetfeld, the district administrator for the Webster School District, which is among those that were previously open but will be closed this year. And, you know, goes through the context here. Curious to know, in your part of the state, Wisconsin, is your local school open today or is it closed? And perhaps more importantly, or at least as importantly, who do you see in the state of Wisconsin, in your local community or nationally, that could be the next advocate? Maybe, let's be clear, there will never be another Martin Luther King Jr. Just won't be. He was a unique figure, one of one, as they say. But who is currently, and sometimes I think that the small but very important things going on in our local communities are overshadowed by all of us wanting this large national figure. So is there somebody in your community across the state of Wisconsin who is doing what they can, their part, to educate, to lift up, to shed light on history, raising up civil rights in your community? Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Who do you think in Wisconsin is leading the way on civil rights or just rights in general? But appropriate to pause and reflect on this Martin Luther King Day. I know our colleague Earl Ingram played some of one of Dr. King's earlier speeches today on his program. Had a good discussion there. And I always think the important thing is that we keep these things alive, that we do talk about it, that we do raise it. what's going on in your community across the state of Wisconsin. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Zomers, of course, when I was in school, it just wasn't observed the way that it is now, unfortunately. And I think it's good that the state of Wisconsin and that more and more schools now are giving it the day off and giving it the proper recognition that it deserves.
I know when I was little, we didn't have the day off. We did, though, spend a lot of time in class, if not most of the day, talking about it, about his legacy and things like that. As I got older, I don't remember if they ended up taking the day off or not. Mm. But I know when you're no longer in like elementary school,
right,
it's a little harder to make sure everyone's on the same page of teaching about that on that day.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Martin Luther King Day? And as importantly, what's happening in your community across the state of Wisconsin? Either today, does your district, do local governments close down to observe the holiday? And really, what's happening in terms of your community leaders, our community leaders across the state of Wisconsin, as far as doing something to educate and to advance civil rights in the state of Wisconsin? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Cindy calling in from Appleton, Wisconsin. Cindy, always appreciate it. What say you?
Well, I say we let the memory of Martin Luther King live, and the memory of Pinocchio, as soon as he's gone, die a sudden death. But I know Appleton and Menasha schools are both closed today. And as far as leaders in the community, I know there's many of them here that do their part to educate and keep that memory of Dr. King alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And Lawrence University is doing some type of celebration tonight. I'm not sure if
we'll
get out, though. Am I under the weather? And it's so cold. So
there's a lot of people, Cindy, under the weather. There's some crud sweeping through civic media. Azamaris and I, we live in a bubble. And so we haven't been affected yet, knock on wood.
Somehow.
Right. Thoughts go out to you. There's a lot of people fighting stuff right now. So take care of yourself. But thanks for taking the time to listen and call in, Cindy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Have a great day. So there you go. Your alma mater, Mr. Zomers.
Indeed.
Lawrence University doing a little program.
I'll have to look and see what's going on. Yes, let's see. At 6 p.m., they have the Fox City's MLK celebration, which is a community-wide event at Memorial Chapel. So if you are in or near Appleton and you want to go check out what they're doing, it's at 6 p.m. at Lawrence University Memorial Chapel.
There you go. See, right there. Thank you, Cindy. We appreciate you giving us the heads up on that. For all of our listeners in the Fox Valley on WISS or perhaps WGBW, great station out of Green Bay. What is your local community doing to observe Martin Luther King Day? Who are the leaders in your community? Who is kind of the next leader that you see advancing civil rights in the state of Wisconsin and across the country? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's a great example Cindy gave us there. If you just stop and look around, as Yogi Berra used to say, you can see a lot just by looking around, right? A great call and a great example of what's going on locally. That's, again, the kind of stuff we want to do more in 2025. Uplift. We should almost like get back at the old home station at RCO. They still do it. It's called Community Calendar. And so people will write in and say what's happening in the community. We call it out.
That could be something interesting to bring up. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we start doing an all-ball show community calendar. Let us know what's happening around the state. Can't always get to all of them, but we'll do our best. If you have a suggestion, let us know.
You know somebody that I have my eye on as a community leader?
Who?
Jeff Wright happens to be a candidate for state superintendent of public instruction, but we had him on the show last week, on Thursday, and I was struck by the way he not just talks about bringing everybody to the table, but has so far in his education career brought everybody to the table in the community.
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing that up, and you're absolutely right. Jeff Wright, who is one of three candidates vying for the state school superintendent position, currently the district administrator in Sauk City, Purdesac area, Sauk County. And if you notice that entire half-hour interview we had with him last week, he never said one negative thing about someone.
He did not. You're right.
I mean, it was a half. I mean, isn't that remarkable that you know, oh my gosh, a candidate for political office that always does is be positive about you know, facing issues like childcare and housing and education, and he does it with positivity and working across party lines.
The closest thing to saying something negative was when he admitted that he had been wrong about things. And he's like, you know, right. I didn't even think about that until this student of mine brought it to my attention.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's an important thing, and we're going to keep covering this throughout the year. But if you before the show ends, if you have a community celebration, or if you have someone in your community or an organization that's lifting up rights of other people, of civil rights, give us a call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Continue to monitor things in Washington. Again, the presidential inauguration is still going on. We expected that the parade would be happening or be launching underway by now, but of course, everything's kind of pushed back because of the weather and other things. But if there's anything remarkable going on, newsworthy, we will certainly bring it to you here. Want to get to one other thing kind of tangentially, because just because we said that we would, tangentially connected with the election here. And I was struck by this, Summers. We've kind of joked around about it. TikTok. If you haven't heard of it, it's a social media platform like Facebook and Twitter, X. TikTok, a lot of people use this. It's short videos predominantly. But holy cow, so what happened was, of course, Congress passed a bill bipartisanly. President Biden signed it into law, and the Supreme Court over the weekend upheld that, saying that the banned TikTok unless it was divested of its Chinese ownership, because the fear is that anything that's owned in China is ultimately overseen by the communist Chinese government. And it makes it really easy for the Chinese government to spy on us, to use our contacts, and to influence us. And then over the weekend, President Biden said, look, I'm not going to enforce this. I'm going to wait for Trump to come in and let him decide. And then the Chinese government said, oh, time out. We're just going to preemptively shut it down. And people lost their minds this weekend. I was struck just to like in our civic media chats, people were just freaking out.
I was surprised it actually happened, but I guess shutting it down is their best play, especially because the company also owns some other popular apps, including the hit game Marvel Snap.
Oh, Marvel Snap.
Yeah, it's also owned in a more roundabout way by, what was the name? Byte?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that Chinese company.
Yeah.
And Marvel, owned by Disney. Shutting down a Disney app in the U.S. is a surefire way to get the mouse on the government's back.
Absolutely. So anyway, Trump then put out a statement saying, look, I want to bring this back. I'm going to save it. And suddenly, miraculously, they turned it back on yesterday.
And now
Trump's taking credit for it. Go ahead.
He also used to talk about, oh, we need to ban TikTok. We got to get it out of China.
Well, yeah, of course. But then he made the deal with the tech bros. And the CEO of TikTok was there, you know, today at the inauguration. My youngest godson, Jason, I think had the best take on this over the weekend. And he's all of, a couple of days, he's gonna turn 25. He said in the group family chat here, he said, I just find it hilarious. People are so attached to social media, unquote.
Yeah.
And from a 25-year-old, I thought that was pretty good. And I think it's a great reminder. I mean, if they ever shut down Twitter, I use that as my aggregator for news sources. I'd be a little lost. But I think the point is well taken that all of us need to do better, including myself this year, in reconnecting with people and not screens.
Use our technology to maybe video chat with somebody who you can't go see in person easily.
Right. Yeah. Do something like that. Or, yeah, if you're able to, just go and see a real person. Because, you know, that's spending time. I went to a roller derby this weekend, by the way.
Oh, you did?
I did. That was fantastic. That's a full contact sport, let me tell you. We're going to come back, have some thoughts on what do you have, past or present, and also a look at the national championship game tonight. It's the Town Hall Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
American history comes to life at the Amory Library. Join us for History Night at the Amory Library, coming up on January 23rd at 6 p.m. This month, Crazy Horse, Custer, and the Battle of the Greasy Grass. It's History Night at the Amory Library. Join us on January 23rd at 6 p.m. Contact the Amory Library for more information.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New presidents often use day one executive orders to move their policy agendas forward. What are the different kinds of presidential orders? What are their limitations, and why do presidents use them? Since John F. Kennedy, presidents have averaged 269 executive orders over their terms. Since 1907, each order receives a number, and all are cataloged at the National Archives. There are three different kinds of orders, according to Dr. Bert Rockman of Purdue University. Executive orders are written orders, usually on more weighty issues such as national emergencies or setting uniform policy for government action. Written presidential memoranda authorize or freeze projects, share official positions with Congress, outline treaties in international affairs, and other policy matters. Memoranda are not required to be published or public. A third type are proclamations, such as a proclamation celebrating Juneteenth. Pardons and clemency are not executive orders, but rather a separate power granted by the Constitution. Gridlock resulting from the failure of Congress to compromise on legislation often stimulates presidents to use more executive orders as presidents struggle to move their policies forward. But executive orders can also be blocked by Congress or court review, as President Trump found out in his first term Muslim ban. Find more in the history of presidential orders at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC and CBS News Radio, depending upon which of our great stations across the state of Wisconsin you're listening to. A sports update with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Did you watch any of the NFL playoffs over the weekend, Zommers?
I did not.
The Philadelphia Eagles are in the NFC Championship game, as are the Washington Commanders. So that's very interesting. And on the other side, the AFC side, it will be the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Buffalo Bills. So that is your final four. Detroit. I said this, didn't I, earlier in the season? I said this team is running on adrenaline, and at some point is going to run out. And then I bought in and said, well, maybe not. And then, of course, it did.
Gotta stick to your gut.
So there's your final four of the NFL playoffs for the AFC and NFC championship game tonight on ESPN and ABC. It is the Ohio State University 13-2 taking on Notre Dame 14-1 for the national championship game. Broadcast at least, I think, around 6:30 tonight. Kickoff probably closer to 7, but should be a lot of festivities. I know I should be rooting for Ohio State because they're Big Ten, but I really like Marcus Freeman, the coach of Notre Dame. And as it turns out, we don't have time to get into this, but a lot of the people on Marcus Freeman was one of the coordinators at Cincinnati for Luke Fickell when he was the head coach there, and they went to the Final Four playoffs. And it turns out that not only Marcus Freeman, but a lot of the Notre Dame, current Notre Dame staff are made up of that Fickell staff from Cincinnati. And it gives me pause as a Badger fan to wonder, was the brains of the operation at Cincinnati really Luke Fickell, or was it his staff with guys like Marcus Freeman?
Well, a lot of people I know have another name, another way to pronounce Luke Fickell's last name, maybe switching out some vowels. And so they would say that he was not the brain.
So anyway, I'm rooting for Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman, I think, tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. What else do we have? I guess I want to get into kind of finish off with a little piece here as we round out today's broadcast covering the inauguration. Ask yourself, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Science tells us that question is a clever political ploy that you too can use. It works because our memories are both short and bad. The faults with our memory lead us to forget how things really were in even the recent past. If you feel your past was better than your present, you're not alone. 6 in 10 Americans said life was better for people like them 50 years ago, according to a recent Pew Research survey. Aliens visiting Earth would look at our media and figure life must have been better in before times. Radios play old songs, TV is reruns, and movies are sequels. Online memes tell us that living standards for the American family have gotten worse since the 1950s. When asked if life was better a mere 4 years ago, the American electorate said yes in 1980 and again in 2024. Nostalgia politics works because we take for granted our economic, scientific, and social progress. Look at your cell phone or computer. Did the richest person on the planet have your technology a decade ago? Are your vehicle and home safer and more comfortable than your last one? Are you better educated than your parents? Are women working? Are people of color advancing? Are more gays out of the closet? Are people with disabilities gaining access? So why is the longing for the past so persistent? Why is the sentiment so widespread that things were better in the old days? Brian Walsh, writing for Vox, attributes it in part to our expectations. When things improve, say with rapid vaccines, the end of global pandemic, we don't stay grateful. Instead, we forget the past and now accept that vaccines should always be fast and effective. If that doesn't happen next time, it proves that life was better before. It's called selective memory. We forget negative events of the past. We double down on positive memories. It's why gambling can be addictive. We forget the times we lost. We'll remember the times we won. Another way our brains deceive us is called loss aversion. We fear change. Things won't turn out well. We feel comforted by the time before change. It's called the past. Finally, when asked about the past, each of us thinks our past selves. We yearn for our younger days, before the losses and setbacks that come with life. We know we can't turn back the clock, but the human experience tells us that we will forever wish it were so. A little thought for you as we move into another 4 years. I don't know what the next 4 years is going to hold. I'm not particularly optimistic when it comes to politics, but on this day, in this moment, I can simply say that once again, after almost 250 years, by the grace of God and the great people, the men and women across this country, we did have a peaceful transition of power. What comes next, we shall see. But we will be here every day, and we'll get through it together, pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Many thanks to Matt Flynn for being on the show today. Mr. Zommers, all of you for listening. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. No matter what you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Hanging on your drum, keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump sitting down to sign his first official acts of a second term so he can begin governing. He's also expected later to reverse executive orders of the Biden administration and move on pardons for the January 6th defendants.
President Trump is preparing to issue a sweeping series of pardons for defendants charged in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, including commuting the prison sentences of hundreds of his supporters who've been convicted of violent attacks against law enforcement. Sources familiar with the matter tell ABC. The planned commutations for those who attacked police goes well beyond what many of his allies anticipated he would extend to the January 6th defendants, and paves the way for potentially hundreds of supporters, some sentenced to years behind bars for vicious assaults on police, to be released in the coming days. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
President Trump also criticized former President Biden, who issued his own pardons before leaving office, including for members of the Biden family, members of the House January 6th investigation, and Dr. Anthony Fauci. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.